So we've been talking over the past number of weeks about this idea of how to build a temple, kind of a practical guide based on Solomon's building of the original temple in Israel thousands of years ago, and what it looks like for us to then build a temple for the Lord in our hearts and our lives today. Last week, or a couple of weeks ago, we talked about David's words to Solomon. As he's encouraging him and getting him ready to build the temple, he says, "Be strong and courageous and do the work." And last week, we talked about the things that might prevent us from being able to do the work. You know, it might be fear over the size of the task at hand. That's what David calls attention to that. He says, "Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task." It might feel like we don't have the right experience to do this. We don't have the ability to do the thing that God has called us to do. It might be that we're not in the right, what we feel is the right age or stage in our life to be able to accomplish these things. But I promise you that at every moment and at every stage, God is calling us to this. And that at every age and every stage, He's equipping us for it. And we talked about how it's necessary not just to recognize the call that God has put on our lives, but also to confirm the call that God has put on our lives, because the calling really comes in a moment. But the confirmation is something that's walked out over a lifetime, that happens again and again at every age, at every stage, as we grow and we mature and we continue to see God pour into our lives, we continue to receive confirmation that, yes, God, we are going that way, or we receive condemnation that we say, "Whoa, check where you are. Let's make sure we're still headed the right direction." And what David says very, I think, poignantly and very wisely to Solomon is that he doesn't just tell him, "You've been called, you've been chosen, this is what your task is." He encourages him, urges him to get to work. He says, "Do the work." Why? That's that story I told you last week, right? David says, "Do the work," because when we begin to do the work, God begins to fill up the pool. When we begin to do the work, God comes in and supports with the stuff that we need to be able to accomplish the tasks that He set before us. Jesus said, "Go into all the world." And then He gave them the stuff they needed to go. He didn't say, "Sit around and wonder." See, God knew, Jesus knew, David knew, we need to know that calling alone won't be enough. It's not enough to just know that you're called. It's not even enough to have confirmation of the call a lot of times. We have to be equipped to do the job that God's called us to do. Whatever God calls you to do, He equips you for. I absolutely believe that, right? I mean, if you're getting ready to go and do a job on a job site, you're going to need the right tools to be able to accomplish that job. Now, I want to look again at Solomon's task that David lies out before him here, his task to build the temple. All right, so we're going to look here at 1 Chronicles chapter 28. That's kind of been our anchor scripture here, and I'm going to pull out some specific verses. We've read the whole thing plenty of times, so I feel like it's okay if we kind of go through and just highlight some of the points here. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 4, and I'm going to kind of bullet point some things here. David says, "The Lord God chose me from among all my father's family to be king over Israel." And he walks out how he did it. He said he chose the tribe of Judah. "From among all the families in Judah, he chose my family. And from among my family, he chose me. And from all my sons," and the Lord has given me many children, he says, "he chose Solomon." You hear that calling? Right, that calling that's happening here. And it's not just a calling, it's a spiritual calling from God. And then David gives an earthly calling saying, "Be strong and do the work. The Lord chose you. I'm telling you to be strong and get to work." There's a spiritual calling to this and an earthly calling as well. And it continues on. When you go to, I told you the verse 21, look down at the bottom of verse 20. He says, God will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. The various divisions of priests and Levites will serve in the temple. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the leaders in the entire nation are at your command. He goes on in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 2. He says, using every resource at my command, I have gathered as much as I could for the building of temple of God. He goes through all the list of things that he does. And he said, who's willing to follow my example? Who is willing to give offerings to the Lord today? And then all these people in Israel, it details how they rejoice over their offerings and they give to contribute to the temple as well. And they give their time, their energy, and their money to this lifting up and building of the temple. And then in 2 Chronicles, starts with Solomon's decision to start building the temple, to go ahead and start doing the work. And what we find in 2 Chronicles chapter 2 is a letter that he writes to King Hiram in Tyre. And he's asking for supplies, and he's asking for some people that can come help. And Hiram responds and tells him, not only am I going to send you all the supplies, I'm going to send you, and he says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 13, a master craftsman named Huram Abi. I want you to listen to this description of this guy. It's great. He's a brilliant man. His father, he's skillful at making things from gold, silver, bronze, and iron. You say, that's great. But he also knows about stonework and carpentry and weaving. Wow. He's an expert in dyeing purple, blue, and scarlet cloth. Oh my goodness. And he's also skilled at working with linen. And not only that, he's also an engraver and can follow any design that you give him. Who is this guy? Right? I mean, this is like the guy that can do it all. But he has a great skill that goes beyond that. This is my favorite skill that he possesses. It's in the next verse. He will work with your craftsmen. Notice what he said. He didn't say he's going to come in and make sure it's all done. No, no. He's going to come in and join the team. He says he's going to come in and work with your craftsmen, side by side, and those appointed by my Lord David and your father. You see, what we find in these verses is that there are elements of this that are spiritual callings by God and earthly callings by David. And then what follows them are the equippings. Whatever God calls you to do, he will equip you for. And the equippings match the call. The call is a spiritual calling. And so what does David say is the spiritual equipping? The Lord God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He will make sure that everything is done to completion. But there's an earthly calling and component as well. And likewise, there's an earthly equipping. The people he's going to send to do the work, the materials that are going to be sent to do and accomplish the work, right? God called Solomon, David called Solomon, both of them equipped them for the task. God, here's the thing I want you to take away from this, is not going to call you to anything that he isn't going to equip you for. Let me say it a different way. God's not going to call us unless he's going to equip us. He's not. And here's the reason. Because God doesn't call us to things that we can do in our own strength and our own power. It's as simple as that. He doesn't call us to things that we can accomplish on our own. If we could accomplish them on our own, where's the glory for God? So instead, he calls us to these tasks that are not only greater than we can accomplish, but that they require us to bring in a whole bunch of other stuff to be able to accomplish the task. And he is at the forefront of it, leading the way, guiding us, calling us, saying, come on, go ahead and do the work, and I will fill the pool. I will make sure you have everything you need to accomplish this task. You all have probably seen those boxes when you go to the store maybe, or you go pick up something at a big box store, or maybe at an electronics store, or at some kind of appliance store. And on the box, there's a picture. If we were in person, I'd hold up the picture, but instead of bothering with that, I'll just explain it. If you if you've seen these pictures, there's two kind of like stick figures, right? And in between them, they're both holding a box or they're holding some kind of object, right? And this little graphic that's on there is a graphic that you're supposed to look at it that says team lift. And here's the reason it says team lift, because if you try to pick that thing up by yourself, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to get hurt or you're going to break the thing you're trying to lift. It's a team lift. You're not meant to carry it alone. You're not meant to pick it up alone. You're not meant to try to drag it around the house alone or pull it out of the car or load it or any of those things. From start to finish, it's a task you can't do yourself. You're not supposed to do yourself. And if you try to do it, either you will be hurt or you're going to break the thing you're trying to do. You might hurt somebody else. It's a team lift project. See, these materials, these supplies that were provided for Solomon, all of the gold, the silver, the bronze, I mean, you read that list. I don't want to go over the whole list, but I mean, it's several chapters of supplies and materials. Those are all great. But I don't care how much of those supplies and materials you gave to Solomon, he couldn't build the temple on his own, even with all those supplies and materials. It was a team lift project. He had to do it with other people. God designed it that way. You believe that? I believe that God designed it to be that way. And the projects that he's calling us to, the challenges, the things he's working in our lives, he's designed to be that way too. We are not meant to go it alone. And so what about us? How does this apply then in our lives? I want to read you a few things that Jesus tells the disciples on the night that he was going to be betrayed. And he pulls his disciples in close and he's talking to them about really deep and lasting things. And in the book of John, at the end of the book of John, I'm going to look in three different places here in the chapter 14 and chapter 16. I'm just going to pull out a couple of verses. Jesus says, chapter 14, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another, what? I don't know what your translation says. Mine says, helper. He's going to give you somebody to come in. Then he'll be with you forever. He says later in verse 26, the helper that the Holy Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring into mind all the things about that I said. In chapter 16, in verse 7, he says, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go, because if I go, if I don't go, the helper won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. Do you hear Jesus just filling the disciples with this idea that, listen, I'm getting ready to go away and I'm getting ready to call you to an impossible task? They have no idea what this task is going to be, but he's trying to encourage them, listen, it's going to sound impossible. It's going to look terrible. It's going to be hard, but don't worry. I'm not going to leave you alone. I am sending you all that you need. I'm sending you the helper. But you know what he does? More than just he sends them the helper, he sends them each other. I'm going to back up just a minute in that. See, God has been calling us to do this work. And when Jesus sent the disciples out, when he said, go into all the world, he wasn't sending them individually into all the world. That's not what he said. They didn't go alone. Instead, they were equipped. Even when he sent them while he was still with them, they were equipped. You remember, it told him not to take any supplies with them. Don't take money bag, don't take this, don't take extra sandals, any of these things. But who was with them? Physical, earthly equipping, spiritual equipping. Why? Because the task is earthly and it's spiritual. He sends the Holy Spirit, and then he sends each other. He called them as a group, as a team, and he equipped them with more than just the materials that they would need. He equipped them with one another. He equipped them with the Holy Spirit. Do you notice how many times those things come together? They were all in one place and Jesus shows up among them. They were all sitting in a room and suddenly a sound like a roaring wind came in. As they were all together in one place. Do you hear how many times the movement of the Holy Spirit is associated with the grouping of the people together in one place? That's not an accident. Because the Holy Spirit is our gift giver. The Holy Spirit is the equipper to do the task that God has called us to, the impossible task that we cannot do on our own. This is what the Holy Spirit brings. He doesn't bring earthly equipment. He brings spiritual equipment for a spiritual task in the form of spiritual gifts. And if you think about the spiritual gifts as you think about like tools for the job at hand, just like a worker needs the right tools for the right job, so the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to equip us and those around us to accomplish his work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul writes about this and he says, I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. There are different gifts, but they're all from the same Spirit. Different ways to serve, but the same Lord to serve. Different ways that God works through people, but the same God. God works in all of us in everything we do. That's a lot of superlatives. He means it that way. Listen to the Spirit, the spiritual gifts that He gives. And we're going to go next week a little bit deeper with the spiritual gifts. Today I want us to understand why the gifts. Next week I want to understand what the gifts. But I want to read you the list. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak with wisdom, and to another the ability to speak with knowledge. The Spirit gives faith to one person, and to another gives healing. To one, the power to do miracles. Another, the ability to prophesy. To another, He gives the ability to discern between good and evil spirits. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak in different languages, and to another, the ability to interpret that language. One Spirit, the same Spirit, does all these things, and the Spirit decides what to give to each person. As I'm reading this list, as you're hearing that list, as you read it later on, I want you to realize you have already been equipped with one or more of those gifts when you give your life to Christ. And next week we'll talk about how no matter what you've already been gifted with does not mean that you are limited to that gifting in your life as well. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that next time, like I said. But I want you to recognize that these gifts, these tasks, or these tools, I mean, that God has given us, that the Holy Spirit works into our lives, are meant to be used in combination with the other spiritual gifts to form a spiritual community, right? Known as the body of Christ. You can read in Romans 12 when Paul is also writing about spiritual gifts. He says in verse 4 that each one of us has a body with many parts, and these parts have different uses. And in the same way, in Christ, we are all one body. Each part of that body is, each one is a part of that body, and each part belongs to the other parts. We have different gifts, each which came to us by the grace that God gave us. And then in 1 Corinthians, when he's talking about it, he says something from the Spirit can be seen in each person for the common good. You catch that last little phrase? Why does God give us these spiritual gifts? For the common good. Are they to make us look impressive and amazing? No. Are they to just go do fancy tricks? No. They're for the encouragement of the body, for the building up of the body to do the work that God called us to do. That man, Hiram, the one that we read about from back in Solomon's time, he's got nothing on what the Holy Spirit equips us to go and do the work. But remember, Hiram's number one skill was not all the things he was able to do. It was the fact that he was able to go and work with the other people. Because even as skilled as he was, he can't do the work by himself. And so it is with each one of us. You're never meant to do this alone. God has called us to build his kingdom and to establish his temple in our hearts and in the world at large. And what God has called us to do, He will equip us for. He has given us spiritual and earthly equipping in the form of spiritual gifts and a community in which to use them. God has given us the plans, the equipment, and the people to accomplish His work. We are a team. When we get into these things, into these challenging tasks that God's called us to do, when we get into these large-scale building projects, when we get into these things that matter, we're going to run up against challenges. There are going to be difficulties that we face. Sometimes they're personal difficulties. Sometimes they're difficulties with others. Sometimes they're difficulties just because the work's hard. But we're going to run up against them. Never forget that whatever God has called us to, He has equipped us for, and that includes sending the right people around you to do the job. We are a team. Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but it does mean that we can work through it together for the good of the body of Christ and His work in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, as we just reflect on Your call in our lives to do the work, we recognize that on our own, it is impossible for us to do this task. That without You, we will become overwhelmed, we will become discouraged, we will become frustrated, and so many other things. But with you, God, we will do the work with joy. We will do the work with gladness in our hearts, and your peace will fill us. I ask you, God, now just to go ahead of us. Lord, fill us with your presence and your peace. Lord, equip us to do the task you've called us to. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.